it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tam Talk Radio Network.
Kamaru Usman, a.k.a. the Nigerian Nightmare here, and you are listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, we are back coming to you live from Torre de Pizza, 88th Avenue and 4th Street in St. Pete. Sometime during this hour, I do have a gift here for you.
Ooh.
There is a box.
It's like Christmas.
Well, you don't really deserve gifts on a normal basis.
Well, you shaved the beard, so it doesn't feel like Santa's here.
Something for you is coming. Let's jump back to the phone lines. Let's head back out to Las Vegas. Big fights coming up this weekend. Again, it's killing me that I'm not there. On the phone with us right now, the return of Emily Whitmire. Emily, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. What's the weather like out there? Is it 130 yet?
Not today. It's actually not that bad today. Last week, though, was rough.
Well, we're here in Florida, so it feels like it's almost 120 or 130 here. I know this
but
is the beginning.
You have humidity.
Yeah, yeah. Wednesday, media day, typical media day. Like I said, I'm normally out there covering it, but because of the insanity of what's going on, how different is it now out there than, you know, the typical media stuff? I know you're doing a lot more by phone and Zoom. And how weird is that for you?
It's not weird. I mean, I feel like a lot of us do phone interviews with other people, you know, frequently and stuff. So it's just you don't have like a big media day per se. And so now you just, you know, are on your phone a little bit more.
I've tried to explain that to like the media in the NFL because they're now doing Zooms every day and you can't go out to training camps. And I'm like, we've been doing that with MMA for 15, 20 years. But now it's so different than all the other sports. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, they're catching up to us now.
Exactly. Isn't that nice?
It is. We're finally number one at something.
For so long, you know, we've been battling it, and I've covered the UFC probably longer than anybody in the country. Just shows how old, you know, I am. And, you know, we're always trying to push to get that recognition. And now the other sports are catching up to what MMA and the UFC has been doing forever. Your fight on Saturday, originally scheduled a couple months ago, is that like almost an advantage that you don't have to go back and do, you know, the research and all that on your opponent because you've already done it once?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I think part of it, though, I mean, you've had one person on your mind for a while, so you're just kind of ready to hurry up and do it. But then again, I mean, you focus a portion on them a little bit, but a lot of it's just, you know, fine-tuning your own craft and getting better yourself. I mean, we're all MMA fighters, so, you know, you've got to be always working your stand-up, your kickboxing, your grappling, your wrestling, you know. So you're just always trying to get better as an athlete yourself, and then that should, you know, come out and fight.
You know, a lot of times you hear about, you know, game plans, and it's like when people ask me, well, can you send me what your first 10 questions are? And I would always respond,
yeah,
I don't know what question number two is until your answer to number one. How do you set a game plan when you don't know what the opponent's going to do?
I mean, you kind of have like a little bit of an idea just because you watch, you know, tape and you just pick up on like some tendencies and you kind of know what kind of style of fighter they are. So you kind of know what to expect. But that is the beauty of MMA is you know, always expect the unexpected. So sometimes fighters come out really hot. Sometimes they come out patient. You know, it's just like, it's all, you know, it's chess match. You make a play, they make a play, and then you make a play off their play, and it just continues to grow from there. And so it's, you know, one of the beauty things of the sport. It's just, you know, really unknown.
Now, are you a Big Brother fan? The expect the unexpected? Is that why you said that?
I'm not. I've actually never watched a season of Big Brother, but you hear that a lot in the gym, you know, expect the unexpected. You know, anything can happen. You see people winning fights and they lose in the last 10 seconds of the third round or the fifth round. You know, anything could happen at any moment in time, so you just have to be ready.
And that's one of the reasons that I first gravitated to the sport. You know, I love the fact that, you know, you could be winning a fight. Chael Sonnen against Anderson Silva dominates,
oh,
you know,
my God,
four rounds. And then with
that
12 seconds left. But that's also the beauty of the sport. That can happen, right?
Yeah, so I'm actually from Oregon. I actually grew up fighting on Chael. Actually has an amateur show, the FCFF. And so I grew up fighting on his show. And we were all out of Buffalo Wild Wings watching that fight. And you could literally hear a pin drop in that fifth round. And it was, you could just feel the energy just plummeted after that. I mean, it was just heartbreaking. So, like, yeah, you see stuff like that happen where, you know, he was taking out the top of the top at, like, the GOAT at that time, and last, you know, minute of the fifth round, and he lost it, you know, so just anything can happen.
Things do happen. I've been friends with Chael for a long, long time. And, you know, so many people, you know, ask me, you know, what do you remember? How many, you know, fights do you remember? What sticks out? And one of the few things I do remember of all the events that I've been to is how Chael would always welcome his opponent. You know, he'd always go to the front side of the cage, and he's like waving them on. And, you know, you don't remember a lot of things, but that always stuck out about Chael.
Yeah, he's definitely an interesting character.
Yes, he is.
So Emily, so you're from Portland, Oregon, but you live in Las Vegas now, right? You reside there?
Yep.
So do you feel like...
I've been
like
here for 6 years.
So there's no crowd advantage, obviously. There's no hometown crowd advantage because there's no fans at the Apex Center. But do you feel like you have a hometown advantage for, like, being so comfortable with Vegas and calling it home? Do you feel like it's a home court advantage for you in this fight coming up?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, I'm at my own house right now, so I have that, like, comfortability. But I think that's, like, one of the benefits that, like, fighters, when they take the initiative to move here, like, you're putting yourself in a position to be around the PI, to, you know, be on the cards here in Las Vegas. Usually, if you live in Las Vegas, they would love for you to fight in Las Vegas. And so it's definitely a big advantage. You know, there's been tons of people that have moved away from their hometowns and, like, came out here. And, I mean, definitely moving away from the Pacific Northwest, where it's just an abundance of beauty, to this desert wasteland is, you know, that's not the easiest decision. But when you have a goal in mind and, like, nothing else matters, you know, I just wanted to, like, get here and, like, fight and, you know, chase that dream. And so, I mean, yeah, I definitely think. But, and then being used to the dry air, I know a lot of people, they struggle with that. Like, when they first get here, especially during the summertime, it's, like, a little bit surprising when they wake up the next day, they're like, well, it's dry here. And so I'm used to that. So I think that, like, may help me a little bit.
I wish I just woke up and thought that every time I'd go out there. I normally wake up with a bloody nose.
I hear that a lot.
It just kills me. Do you also hear a lot that people are surprised that people live in Las Vegas and they don't live on the Strip?
Yeah, they think we all live in the casino.
Well, I didn't necessarily mean that, but, you know, a lot of times you talk to people and you're like, what, there's something to do outside of the Strip? I'll be honest, I've come out, I don't know, 10 years now, 15 years. I didn't know about Red Rock until 2 years ago.
Yeah, so I actually just went up to Mount Charleston with some fighters that are here in town, and they were just, like, blown away. Two of them were from Colorado, and they were just like, this looks like Colorado. Like, I mean, Vegas, it's rough sometimes, but if you know where to go, I mean, there's a lot of fun stuff to do here.
Well, that can change your perspective if you get out to the, what'd you call it, the desert wasteland? We can, Jimmy Denning from Senator Rock does concerts out in Red Rocks, out in the desert, and maybe he can change your perspective on that, because they play some amazing, beautiful music out there.
Emily, let me ask you this. With this being the first fight for you since, you know, the insanity that's going on in the world, do you call around and talk to people that have already fought at the Apex on what to expect, what not to expect, the sounds, the just everything about it? Because it's kind of, even though you fought amateurs, when, you know, as you worked up, it's still a little different.
Yes, but I think I have an advantage being, I was on the Ultimate Fighter, and you fight basically in an empty... I think Apex is a little bit bigger, but I mean, it was a big empty warehouse, and you have the camera crew there and, like, your teammates, but I mean, you don't have no walkout music, and it's quiet when you're fighting. And so I've already experienced that. And so I think the fights have been better since, you know, they took away the fans. Energy is a real thing. And when, you know, the crowd is excited and they're cheering you on, like, that definitely helps. But then when the crowd starts booing, I mean, that can definitely take it out of you as well. And so I remember, I think Amanda Nunes was fighting Jermaine de Randamine, and, like, everyone was, like, booing because there was a lot of wrestling and grappling, and, like, that's part of the sport. I mean, it's not a boxing match. And I think, like, you could tell, like, I think that, like, affected Amanda a little bit. Like, I think she let her up a few times, and I think it was just kind of one of those things where, like, the crowd does play a role when I'm excited to go out there and, you know, not have that extra energy and just focus on me and my opponent.
I agree with you, but from a kind of a silly standpoint, what would you miss most? The Ric Flair woo, the get him a body bag, the sweep the leg, what?
The cheering when you get your hand raised. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, there's nothing that really can beat that. You have the lights on you, everyone's cheering you on, and I mean, it's an incredible feeling. So I definitely will miss that. So that is the one part that's a little bit down.
You can have four people. This is my let's get to know Emily a little bit. Inviting four people over for dinner, living or passed away, real or fictitious, can't be family members, can't be, you know, fellow fighters from the gym. Who are you inviting over?
Oh, man, four people, that's a lot. Okay, so I would probably want to have Joe Rogan over. Then someone that's dead. Amelia Earhart. I was always a big fan of Amelia Earhart growing up, and so I would love to, you know, talk to her and, like, see what it was like being, you know, if, finding out exactly what happened to her. That's, I think, the big question.
Sure.
And let's see. I might bring back Kobe Bryant. I would love to, like, hear, like, some more from him and, you know, just on the mama mentality. And I think a lot of that actually came from Michael Jordan. But I would love to, like, talk to Kobe. And then, I don't know the last one. Those are the three that come to mind.
Normally, I don't change it, but since my daughter's name is Emily as well, I'll allow us to cut it back down to three.
They're all aviation people, right? Like, Kobe passed away in a in a helicopter, Amelia Earhart.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Joe Rogan's always high. So,
you know. Oh, good stuff. Emily, what can we expect to see Saturday night?
A fun fight. I'm coming out there with a lot to prove, and me and her both haven't fought in a year, and so I think we're both coming out there to, you know, give our name some life to it again, so I think it's going to be a good one.
Looking forward to it. Thank you for your time. Let's put you on hold for a second so we can get your address and mail you out a thank you package from 8 Man Strong.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Emily.
Awesome.
You know, and one of the things, if you go to her Twitter, is M. And, you know, we've called Emily M. Emily. I mean, yep. It's not, you know, everybody's Emily's M's. And you just have that little relationship, you know, when the name's familiar.
Speaking of M, happy 27th birthday. Belated.
It's shocking. It's shocking.
Your youngest sibling or your youngest daughter.
Not sibling, yeah. My youngest daughter's
27.
Absolutely insanity. So, all right, let's hit this break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about what's coming up on September 11th in Daytona Beach.
Yes.
Former UFC fighter Kendall Grove when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Tubby Checker, right here talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong. Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Do you know the difference between jacaranda and a palm? How about what is lethal bronzing and how to stop it? Can you trim a 30-foot rubber tree and know how to clean your equipment after? I answered no to these and many more about the trees in my yard and how to take care of them. Luckily, I know the great guys at Tree Impressions of Florida, and they do. After one call to Tree Impressions of Florida, and I'm ready for hurricane season, or at least my yard will be, don't wait until it's too late. Call Tree Impressions of Florida today at 727-263-9291. You need tree trimming and removal? Watch how they clean up after. Just as impressive as the tree work in itself. Call Tree Impressions of Florida at 727-263-9291 and have one less thing to worry about before the next storm.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, it's Joanna Jędrzejczyk, the UFC strawweight, and you are listening to the Knockout Radio.
Oh, it's Nitz.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I guess so. You don't want to. Yeah. You've told me numerous times I'm just a grumpy old man.
You do.
Right? I'm a grumpy old man. But there's certain people that just lift my spirits.
Okay.
I feel better when I talk to certain people. Not a lot of people.
Sure.
One of them is on the line next. It perks me up whenever I know Kendall Grove is coming on the show. Kendall, how are you?
Very good, guys. How you doing? Long time no talk.
It's been a while since I saw you in Mississippi. I'll see you in a couple of weeks in Daytona. How have you been? How's the family?
Very good. Family's doing good. Glad my kids finally went back to school. And dealing with this whole pandemic throughout the country. Kind of happy things are kind of getting back to, I guess, our new norm. But, yeah, excited. Glad this fight happened. I know it was supposed to happen earlier this year, but the whole country shut down, and then it got pushed back, and then I thought we were going to do it UFC style with no crowd, and then they said, no, we want to do it with a crowd, and then I was like, all right, cool. So I kind of gave up on the thought, and then boom, it just happened. But just thank God I was training. I was training the whole time, like, and it just worked out, you know. It just kind of worked out, and here we are 3 weeks out. Or two and a
career. It's a truck with a team.
That's what I said. I said trucking.
Okay. Just making sure. Career. It's a truck with a team.
That's what I said. I said trucking.
Okay. Just making sure. Just wanted to make sure. In a funny way, and, you know, you can kind of have fun even in bad times. So I'm trying to say this in a lighthearted way. Because it's bare knuckle with the pandemic that's going on and it's different training, it's been a little bit easier, I'm assuming, staying in shape and training for a bare knuckle fight than if it was an MMA fight.
Oh, yeah. But for me, with this whole thing, my gym is going as usual. I still roll every night with my whole class. This never happened. And so I've been getting good training. Got my coaches here almost every lunch break, working and doing a lot of range, a lot of stuff that I need to do to beat a tough opponent in Hector.
You know, and talk about that. You know, obviously, Combat Sports knows the name Kendall Grove. They know the name Hector Lombard. Tell us what you think about Hector.
I respect him a lot. You know, this is a fight game. You know what I mean? We're going to fight people. And when I got into Bellator, I'm like, oh, shit, this guy's, I'm going to have to fight this guy one day. And then he laughed, and I was like, whoo, dodged that bullet. And then right there, he signed with Bare Knuckle. And I right when he signed, I think I lost. I just lost to Murray Stamp, where he was there or had rumors. And then I was like, ah, I have a feeling. And sure enough, the feeling was right. I knew we were going to fight. I knew we were destined to fight. And since when I got signed with Bellator. But then he left. I stayed. But here we are. Here we are 7 years later, and we're doing it bare knuckle.
What did you think the first time you saw the poster? You know, we've seen, you know, combat sports posters, you know, as long as we've been alive, certain posters just stick out. And when you see the faces of these four names that have been involved in combat sports for so long, what was your first thought? Mine was like, look at this. This is cool.
Yeah, OG, triple OGs.
There you go.
You know, you guys who started this, who was in the beginning of MMA, who was in the beginning of combat sports, who slowly helped pave the way for all these younger generations on one poster. You know what I mean? Thiago, yep. Phil, myself, and then you got Hector. And
we
Ultimate Fighter winner, Hector, Bellator, undefeated champ, Olympian, and Baroni, the badass, Thiago. Can't get any better than that.
And we will be there. We're going to broadcast 2 weeks from today from up there. We're hoping to get you back on, you know, to talk even more. But talk about the date that this fight is. It's arguably the most recognizable
September
date.
September 11th, one of the... How can I say it right without... it's a patriotic day for America, you know what I mean? It's the day where tragedy happened. In 2001, September 11th, but it was a day that brought our country together, unified us even more. And my brother has been in the my brother's in the military, or he was in the military. I got a lot of military friends. I got a former frogman who sponsors me. And so I know it was on the 24th, or the week after, and then Dave called me. He's like, hey, we're going to have to push the fight forward to September 11th. I'm like, perfect. So I'm stoked.
It is a good day to honor what happened. Looking forward to that, obviously, in 2 weeks. No, I thought you had something.
Well, I keep coming up with something in my head from the memory bank, and I don't know if it's you that it happened to, but Kendall, was there a few years ago, were you getting ready to leave for a fight and a typhoon was coming your way?
Yeah, that was my first bare knuckle fight. There's a hurricane going to hit Maui, and thank God it didn't, and or Hawaii, and we just got a little rain, water damage, and that was it, but... steady timing on that fight.
Obviously, the news cycle is filling up with the Hurricane Laura about to hit, you know, the Gulf. And I personally, what's the difference between a typhoon and a hurricane? Do you even know, or do you know?
I don't know, but I know a hurricane is like the big brother of a typhoon, I think.
Let's just say they both stink.
All right.
Before I ask you about the fight against Hector and what we can expect, which is typically how we end the conversation, we're going to be giving away a couple of those posters signed by all four of you. So part of the trivia question that we're going to put out starting next week will be questions about all four of the fighters. So tell us something about you that most people may or may not know. Well, that they won't know.
My first nickname was the Rainbow Warrior. my coach, Mark Lehman, thought it would be funny. Because he's the coach in Hawaii at the time, and I was coming up as a fighter when he first opened Cobra Kai. and I didn't have a nickname, and I was like, come on, Mark, and I was bugging him, and he's like, you know what? Your nickname is the Rainbow Warrior. I was like, no! And then stopped. And then right before I got an Ultimate Fighter, my dad was like, I'll pay for your rent, I'll do this, but you got to change your fight name. I don't like that, the Rainbow Warrior. Change it to the Spider. I'm like, Anderson Silva has that. He's like, well, pay your own rent. I was like, well, Spider sounds good. So that's how I got the Spider.
Oh, that is awesome. What do we need to do, you and I and all of your fans, what do we need to do to get Bare Knuckle to come to Hawaii?
Talk to the commission, talk to the governor. I'm not sure.
But we need to get that done.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to try.
Go.
Mr. Da Silva, the Spider.
The Spider.
The former Da Warrior.
The Rainbow Warrior.
I just said the Warrior. I appreciate your time as always. Looking forward to seeing you in 2 weeks in Daytona, live from the hotel on Wednesday. We're going to put you on hold, get your address again so we can ship you more 8-man strong gear for coming on.
Okay.
Thanks, Kendall. Talk to you soon.
All right.
One of my favorite dudes.
But the rainbow fits. I mean, the Hawaii, the University of Hawaii, they
have
a rainbow.
Silva came out.
The rainbow has, like, they have a logo with the...
Hawaiians are taking over the show.
They are taking
Kendall
over.
Was just on.
Yes.
When we come back from this break, I've looked forward to this for about a week since I've known about it. He was a star in Hawaii 5-0. He is the chairman on Iron Chef.
Iron Chef.
He's on a brand new movie that came out yesterday called One Night in Bangkok.
Okay.
And we are going to speak to Mark Dacascos when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I'm Adam Richman, culinary traveler and gastronaut, and you are feasting your ears on Knockout Radio. Who wants a knuckle sandwich?
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Bain's Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Bain's can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainsart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park or call them at 727-290-9873.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12 draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The Press Box Sports Emporium at 222 South Elm Avery in Tampa.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tam Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Herschel Walker, and I tell everyone out there listening, y'all need to listen to Knockout Radio.
Okay, we are back, and in a couple minutes, we'll give our UFC Fight Night picks for this weekend. But first, I'd like to welcome to Knockout Radio, Mark DeCascos, better known to some as the Chairman. Mark, how are you?
Hey, Randy. Thanks for having me, man.
Appreciate your time. When somebody sees you walking down the street, after they maybe scream out, hey, it's Mark, do they yell, it's the Chairman? Do they yell, it's Whoa Fat? What do they yell?
Well, you know, sometimes they just shout out a secret ingredient, and they do. Most of them do a really good impersonation of the Chairman.
That's awesome. We're going to talk about your present role, One Night in Bangkok. It just came out. But first, I always like to go and check schools that my guests, you know, have been to, and alumni. I'm sure that you've looked at that, and I saw that you're an alumnus of the Beaver, Jerry Mathers.
Yeah. Yes. So, my first year was at Los Angeles Valley College, and then I went up to Portland State University, and I loved it up in Portland.
And just to show how small the world is, one of my closest friends, former Tampa Bay Buccaneer Adam Hayward, also went to Portland State and played football up there. Just a small world.
Very cool. Very cool. Love it.
Let's talk about your background in martial arts. This is Knockout Radio, one of the longest-running MMA shows in the country. You've been involved in MMA since almost birth. Talk about that.
Yes. So my parents are both kung fu teachers. So, you know, I didn't actively seek out martial arts. I was literally forced to train. My brother and I, my mom and dad had kung fu schools, and we as kids, we were in the school, and they put us in class, and then when we weren't training in class, we were cleaning the school, cleaning the toilets, vacuuming, or wiping the mirrors down. So I spent a lot of time in martial arts schools, and, you know, my mom and dad were both also competitors. So this is way back before UFC. This is back in semi-contact and point sparring, before they had padded gloves. So they would tape up their knuckles and make makeshift shin guards. Back then, groin kicks were allowed. So it was kind of a cross between street fighting and point sparring, because although you weren't supposed to hit full to the face, you know, that often happened. And there was no, you know, you could kick to the groin and punch and kick to the body, and there weren't any pads, so it was quite brutal. First couple of years, when my mom and dad put us into the tournament, I did not like it at all. You know, I was always thinking, I have no beef with these people. Why do I have to fight them? You know, it was kind of crazy growing up.
But you could realistically have, because I've seen this one other time, a bumper sticker on the back of the car that says, "My mom can beat up your dad."
Yeah, you know, my mom was actually the, funny you bring that up, Randy. My mom was the first woman on the cover of Black Belt magazine back in the early 70s. And I, as far as I can remember, that's what the cover was. It's something like, "My mommy can beat up your daddy." Yeah. My mom was tough. My dad taught her, and she loved martial arts.
That is awesome. Before we get into the movie that just came out today, One Night in Bangkok, compare MMA training to what a training session with Dancing with the Stars was like.
Well, that's funny. You know, in martial arts, of course, it takes a lot of focus and discipline, and you have to know how to breathe and be very precise. And when I went on Dancing with the Stars, the martial arts training that I had was really helpful. in the dancing, because it's mind, body, and spirit, and learning these moves was similar to learning moves in a form, you know, in a kata or kyun, as they say in Chinese martial arts. So yeah, I was lucky that I had my martial arts training before going into Dancing with the Stars. I really enjoyed that. What was scary about Dancing with the Stars is that come every Monday and Tuesday, you know, we're dancing live for I think we had between 15 and 20 million people watching every week. So, you know, that was really exciting but daunting at the same time.
Instead of a dance practice, did you want to go do some training or sparring with Chuck Liddell? I believe he was on your season.
Yeah, he was on that season. Oh, man, Chuck was, you know, because we know how devastating he is in the octagon, but he's such a sweetheart. He's so kind and humble. And I find that most of the martial artists that are at a high level are super kind, and you'd never know that they were fantastic fighters unless you see them on television or watch them train, because they're usually so humble and giving and protective, you know?
Absolutely, and Chuck is a good friend of mine. When I was first asked about doing this interview, obviously I followed your career, love you, that's WoFat. I don't know if that's an evil part, a bad guy. So when I started to do a little bit of background on One Night in Bangkok, the first thing I saw was Brutal Murders, and I'm thinking, is this another bad guy? And then I watched the trailer, and that's not necessarily the case. So talk about One Night in Bangkok.
Okay, One Night in Bangkok is a character-driven thriller with action. And my co-star in the movie is a wonderful Thai actress named Vanita, or Nita, Golten. She's half Scandinavian, half Thai. And I think she did a wonderful job in the movie. But basically, it's about this guy who has some not-so-good things happen to some family members. And so the question is, if the law doesn't serve justice, what do you do? Do you take it upon your own hands and try to rectify the situation yourself? And as an actor, that was really fun to explore, because I had to, I asked myself, if that happened to me, what would I do? And I get to explore and investigate this as my character in the movie. It takes place within 24 hours. We shot on location in Bangkok, Thailand, which is a beautiful place to film. The character and the story goes through these very high ups and downs and twists and turns, and it ends up getting quite physical. You know, a really fun show to work on, and I find it very compelling, because each scene is like peeling the skin off of an onion. It gets deeper and more intense.
Talk to us about what it's like. You get the script, you try to now get into that character's head. Talk about what that's like and how long that process.
Yeah, well, you know, each script is different. Each character is different. For One Night in Bangkok, as I read it, there were so many similarities between my character and myself, being that I have a wife, I have three kids, I'm very close to my family, so I could relate to my character's situation in terms of his emotionality. And then you just add the imagination to that. What, you know, how do I feel? And once I got into the character, you know, two or three scenes in, I'm reading this, I could feel the character's heart. I could kind of get inside his head and get on board with his adventure. So putting that to the scenes, it was relatively easy, because I could very much relate to him, you know. And sometimes that's good, and sometimes that's not so good, because, you know, when you have so many similarities, it really, you know, for me, it really made me think about real life. And it got scary in a good way.
Interesting. You know, because a lot of times, you know, people that have families, I have a daughter, I have a granddaughter, you know, you think about what would you do. And in this case,
yes,
you're not only thinking about it, you're getting to act it out and not go to jail.
That's right. That's not good. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, it was, I suppose, in a way, it was, you know, emotionally, it was a really good release because, you know, I don't know what I would do in real life, but at least for the character, he went off and he had choices to make. He made those choices and then he acted them out and he went with full force.
What's the, and I don't know if best thing is the right wording, but what's the best thing about being an actor?
Oh, gosh. There are so many wonderful aspects to it. But I think, well, you know, some of them are to be able to get into the skins of people that give you a different perspective. I have learned so much from acting because in researching the characters, I get to see and feel and think from a different perspective. And that teaches... That has taught me so much, and I've had the great joy of being able to travel and work with people from all over the world. I've had the great good fortune of working in Asia and in Africa. One of the first shows I did was in Israel. I was there for 3 months, then filming all over Europe. It's been a great joy to learn about the world and see life from different perspectives, you know, from meeting the people on the cast and crew in different places, and then from actually getting inside the heart and heads of characters and learning about their perspective. And that has taught me so much because now I'm trying to teach my kids about having different perspectives. You know, they live life, but other people see our world from a different point of view. And it's important to understand that.
Interesting. Talk about, and only another question or two, I know that you have a whole day of media to do. I asked the fighters how different it is from their first fight, preparing for their first fight, to, say, this weekend's UFC. Let me ask you the same thing. How is the process different from being discovered walking down that street, having your first part, to now being the star in this movie one day in Bangkok, one night?
Right. But you know, the thing is, I competed. I never fought professionally. And when I fought, there wasn't even UFC back then. That's how old I am. You know, it was way back before they had PAN for your feet and everything. But I remember, you know, my first fight, and I remember the last fight I had, and it's just like every movie part in every movie. For me, it feels like the first one. It's fresh. It's new. You don't know what's coming at you. You don't know what's going to happen from day to day playing those characters. And so from my first show to having done one night in Bangkok, it's you know, I have more experience, and I certainly have grown as an actor, as a human being, but everything is fresh and everything is new. And I think it's important to do that because, you know, when the character says something, the character has not rehearsed that line for the most part. You know, the character has never said those things. He hasn't felt those things as he's feeling them in the scene. And so I have to approach every scene, every day, every part, it's completely new. It is new. It's fresh, and I have to remind myself that although I have learned the lines as the actor, the character does not know what he's going to say until he says it, and so I have to keep that spontaneity and that room to flow and grow as the character, scene by scene.
One Night in Bangkok came out today, available on DVD, digital, and on demand. Before I let you go, real quick, 15 seconds, what can we expect to see in this movie?
Okay. A lot of heart, intensity, mystery. It's a thriller. And then in the end, we cap it off with some intense action and going back to the heart.
I direct messaged a acquaintance of mine, Chef Simon. I asked him if he would tell me something funny. He didn't get back to me yet, so you're kind of off the hook there. I do want to thank you for coming on, Mark. We're going to put you on hold so I can get your address so we can send you out a care package of 8-Man Strong Swag. Looking forward to seeing the movie later today.
Randy, thank you so much. Much aloha to you.
Awesome. That is Mark Dukauskas. Movie comes out today on night in Bangkok. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we'll give our picks. UFC Fight Night this Saturday night in Las Vegas at the Apex Center. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is NFL Hall of Famer.
No. Hey, this is NFL Hall of Famer Tony Dorsett. You're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Lynn Swan, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Will Fatt was a cool dude.
Yeah.
I don't know why you didn't say something, but, I mean, down to earth.
Book 'em, Dano.
Well, that had really nothing to do with that. McGarrett said that to Khan. Has nothing to do with Woe Fat.
Like, that was a little bit before my time, but was that like just like, is that what like the trendy thing to say? Like, is everybody talking about the Hawaii 5-0 back in the day?
Are you talking about the one that just ended? Or
no,
the one?
No, like the original.
Like,
was that like the show? Like,
I don't know if it was the show, but you know, that was big. You know, the Tom Selleck.
Oh, yeah, Magnum PI.
Now, Tom Selleck went to the same college as Mark did as well. So you had Jerry Mathers.
Wow.
I like how I said that. Jerry Mathers as the Beaver, if you ever watched it. The guy from Seinfeld, was his name, Michael Richards.
Oh, yeah.
Went there. Mickey Dolenz.
Wow.
So, you know, there was a list.
That's stacked.
And then I just thought it was crazy, and that's why I threw it out. The same. Then he went over to Portland State where Adam Hayward went. Just a small, so now it's like three. All right, so we only have a couple minutes left. We have about 8 minutes left. So we have four things to address.
Okay.
Do it in the order that you choose.
Speed them up.
Dana White's over, or not over, but his odds on things that he's going to say tomorrow.
Okay.
The Frankie Edgar fight.
Okay.
Our picks. Your favorite band, because the guy before had to get involved.
Oh,
with
yeah,
his,
he's gone.
You know, whatever.
He's out. So the band's out.
Or your gifts.
Ooh, well, obviously I want the gifts.
All right, gifts can't be first. Okay. Gifts can be second.
I think we should go back to the Frankie fight. I mean, last week we talked about all the great things that came out of New Jersey. We talked about Bon Jovi, but you can't discredit the answer.
Toms Frankie. River. Isn't Tom's that River. The name Toms River? That was the Little League World Series champs?
Yeah. Frankie still got the answer. You know, he moved up and weight, looked sharp.
But you have a complaint.
Well, I just think that it goes back to the scoring issue. I mean, you know, how can it be so lopsided? Because I watched that fight in real time.
Okay.
I didn't watch as a judge. I just watched as a fan, obviously. Okay. But I thought it was a pretty fair fight. And it was, you know, there's some fights when the hand gets raised, I'm like, oh, that guy got, you know, screwed or that, you know. I would have been okay with a draw if they said, you know what, nobody won this contest.
Okay, first of all, draws are like kissing your sister. So I don't want to draw. Who did you think won the fight?
I thought that Frankie won the fight.
Okay. You asked me off the air. We normally don't talk, so why we did it this time, I don't know. As I was dozing, so again, I didn't watch it as a judge.
Right.
So I normally, as you know, I don't like to say who I thought won if I'm not watching every second of every round of.
Sure.
As I remember, I was talking to my brother who kind of said the same thing about my good friend, the judge, who had it, what, 49-12?
Sal D'Amato scored a contest 49-46 advantage Munoz.
Okay, so that's 4-1. Thinking in my head the fight, the ring control that Munoz had, the what appeared to be from time to time some stronger blows.
Okay, stronger fight.
One punch can be you winning or losing a round. Okay?
Okay.
One punch, one kick, one takedown, whatever.
Sure.
So when you think of it that way, see, you're looking at it 4-1. Munoz dominated the fight. Munoz won 4 of the 5 rounds. It doesn't necessarily have to happen that way. It can be an extremely close round, and you can lose it.
Sure, but if Frankie's throwing combinations, 4 or 5 strikes in a row, and then Munoz is just waiting for one loaded up hand to come over the top, it's...
That's the problem with the system that every judge seems to be looking at. When you have so many criteria, it's what criteria is more important.
You go on record often and say, well, all it takes is just one more strike than the other person had on paper,
right,
and you win the contest. You had more strikes.
But, okay, as I judge, and I judge amateurs, but as I judge, it's in my head. I'm counting, okay?
Right.
I'm counting everything. I'm counting ring control. I'm counting punches. I'm counting, like, that punch might be a half a point. It may not be a point in my head.
Do you take in, like, the Olympics, like, the degree of difficulty? Like, somebody trying to do a Superman punch or a spinning elbow?
Yeah.
Like, if they try things, like in gymnastics in the Olympics, if you try a harder trick or dive, then do you get more value for that? Or well, should you?
Let's change gears.
What do you mean to change gears?
Well, let's
finish it off. Eric Colon, in the blue corner, the blue judge, scored the contest 47-48 advantage Edgar. And the white judge, Derek Cleary.
Hey, you can't do that.
Well, it says white judge. Derek Cleary gave it 47-48 advantage Edgar. So your winner by split decision was Frankie Edgar. And oh, my God. Christmas has come early at the Tour de Pizza / Knockout Radio booth. Am I allowed to say what I have in my
Absolutely
hand?
Absolutely, can.
This is a autographed MMA bobblehead box signed by, anybody want to guess? Well, you can see it.
Yeah, I can see it, so.
Chuck the Iceman Liddell. Woo! Man, you know what? I got a safe in my car. I'm going to hold the Airborne Couture. What? And the Derek Lewis.
And the Derek Lewis Ooh. Christmas ornament. So here's
Dave.
The deal. Here's the deal with you and Dave.
Dave.
You can have those as long as Dave never says anything about the Naked Pizza Man again.
Is this how big my figurine is going
to
be?
You're not getting one, or I won't talk to either one of you, the two of you, ever again.
Chuck has a cooler mohawk than I do.
It's, again,
unbelievable.
They are the coolest things. It's of all the stuff that I own, these figurines to me are tremendous. Hopefully you display them here, you know, at Tor. And I want to thank Dave Manley for sending them to me to give to you.
Dave, you outdid yourself. This is the craftsmanship.
Oh, it's
unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, and like I've always said, the boxes are just as cool.
So did Chuck sign the top of the box? Or is that a stamp?
It does appear that way, doesn't it?
The box is just as cool as the figurine.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank our full stacked lineup of guests. I want to thank our sponsors, 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. I want to thank Dave Manley for being very kind.
Oh, the Couture.
Sending you the Randy Couture. I just saw that.
It's so cool.
Yeah. All right.
Bye. Got the veins in the head. I mean, unbelievable.
Hit me up on Twitter at Knockout Radio.
At Make a Pizza Man One.
See everybody next week when we talk more about BKFC coming into Daytona Beach.
Let me tell you now. I took her home to my place, watching every move on her face. She said, look, what's your game?
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, hi, this is Mike Schmidt. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.